Welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 10. Today is August 3rd, 2007. Here's Dove. Welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 10, The Spiritual Flood is Coming. And I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. The audio comment line is available, and you can call that line at 1-715-808-0318. Or send your comments, questions, and suggestions to janine@pastorpaul.org. Comments are live at the log, which is www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com, and you can visit us at www.pastorpaul.org. And Pastor Paul's mission is a not-for-profit organization providing food, love, and dignity to people in need. Make a U.S. tax-deductible donation on the homepage. You can download Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 10, The Spiritual Flood is Coming, at the blog. And thank you for joining me today for Pastor Paul's podcast. I originally was going to share some conversation with you from Montreal, where I attended the Dr. Clark seminar. And I did record some conversations with my M audio recorder and was going to share them during this episode. But since the bridge collapse on 35W in Minneapolis, I've changed that to next week. So I'll bring those conversations next week. I had a great trip and a visit to Montreal. Wanted to just touch bases with you about the bridge and the collapse of the bridge in Minneapolis. Minneapolis is right now really struggling with this incident, as I have seen on a national level. People are throughout the country. This was a terrible tragedy, and it just happened so suddenly, and no one was prepared for it. And that is what this message is about today. When the enemy comes in like a flood, and how we're to deal with it. And no one could have predicted that this bridge was going to collapse like it did. And, you know, we use the bridge. The city of Minneapolis is about 400,000. So it's like a very large cosmopolitan city with a lot of diversity. But it's like a small city where you can get around very easily. And it's very clean. The people are very hardworking, real down to earth, very educated. Minneapolis is a very clean city, and we really try to take care of the infrastructure. So for this to happen in Minneapolis is just a surprise, and we're dealing with it. I think people are just kind of in shock. I know I am. And so we're dealing with it in that way. And just as you have seen many of the stories from the people on the news, a couple of the stories that come to my mind are that were very inspirational to me, at least, were and really kind of represent what our this message is about. The one young counselor who was on the school bus and his efforts and how he stated that they fell now three stories down. And it bounced, of course, because the bridge fell three stories down into the river. The bus flew up in the air, came down. Now, there are these children were on the bus and this counselor. And the thing that he said that was just so inspiring to me was that he said he was so glad he was there because it was important for him to be there to help them children off the bus because he saw them every day. And if something would have happened to them, he would have felt so bad. And I thought that was so, so cool that he wanted to be there. And he was there. And also he said his heart started pumping. So, you know, it was like physically he was prepared to do what he needed to do. And so I just thank God for him and that situation. And another story was the woman who did not know how to swim. And she was... This was like her nightmare. Her car just rolled into the river. It started filling up with water, and she knew she had to do something. And so she had to climb out of that car and get into the river, and she did not know how to swim. And she said she just kicked her feet as hard as she could, kept her head above water, found some rebar in the water, and pulled herself up on that bridge, and then she was rescued like an hour later. So she just tried as hard as she could to survive, and she did. And, you know, both incidences, there was a victory there because they really tried and they really went for it. And, you know, they were praying as well. So when you hear stories like that, they are inspiring because they help us to really see, you know, just how you can react the same way. They just set such a good example anyways. So getting on with the message is a spiritual flood is coming, and it deals with tragedies in our lives that come upon us and how we can deal with them. Here it is. A spiritual flood is coming.
The message is entitled, "The Spiritual Flood is Coming." The spiritual flood is coming. Today then, let's enter into Isaiah 59 and 19, and it says like this, "When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." That's happening in many people's lives right now and in churches. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Several times in my ministry, I have had floods come in. I call them spiritual floods. And I believe it to be one of Satan's most fatal devices to turn aside gospel ministers, to defeat them, to think, well, you're not knowledgeable enough, and you listening on the radio, you preachers out there, to turn you aside from the gospel message with the popular preachings of hyper faith, prosperity is for you, Amway tactics, Mary Kay tactics, and so on like that, and take you away from the cross and the blood and what the work is really all about, and get you into speculations. What if fears? What if the money doesn't come in? What if people don't support you? What if? And they get you into all these things. This is Satan. Maybe he'll take you, preacher, into the political arena. And some people come down and ask me to, or coach me into being the state representative. I have no business doing that. They'll even tell you everything that you're to say. I thought, I'd be no good. I'd get up and I'd start preaching the gospel. See, I have been willing, made willing in the day of his power to preach the gospel. Now, I can't do anything else. I might be fooled and go into this thing if I were to be fooled. Get up in the House of Representatives and start preaching the gospel and they'd have to throw me out of there. Preacher, don't fall into that. You're seeing it all the time on TV. People entering in to the political arena. Or arguments about scriptures. And the Bible says, don't get into vain discussions about the Word of God. The interpretation of prophecies. You don't have to get into that, for they will interpret themselves by their fulfillment. Time will tell. So many times I see people will give a personal prophecy over someone. Or you're going to meet a dark, tall, beautiful man. Then they'll go looking around for one so that their prophecy will be fulfilled. Well, there's one over there. There's one over here. No, time will tell, not manipulation of the scriptures. Because I believe that providence then is the true interpreter of prophecy. God is his own interpreter. Many times we can lay judgments on one another and say, well, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. And so to the end of the world for a person, we don't know anything. The Bible says, know nothing. When you go wise in your own understanding, know nothing. But God will make it very plain. And also, if God has made you willing in the day of his power, you will only go willingly one way, and that will be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You will not be defeated. And even though that he slay me, yet will I trust him. You'll have that type of ministry, and you might even go down. You might even be crucified for Christ's sake. But you see, that's what the gospel is. The gospel is no matter what happens to you, you still glorify the Lord. And no matter what people think or what they say, you keep on preaching the glorious gospel and stay where you're planted, preacher. Now, if they burn the building down, put a tent where it was. But stay there. The Bible says we are commanded to go into the world, present the gospel, pray for the sick, and preach deliverance. It says to set the captives free. My God, in my own personal ministry, I've seen the captives be set free. They get so free sometimes they leave your church. They have to go a step further. Say amen. But I am a gospel preacher and I will not waste energy on speculations. I think all of our time should be spent on winning souls to Jesus Christ. And now we're all preaching. Hey, the end of the world is here. Why are we wasting time? Why not do the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ? Feed the poor. Meet the needs of the people. Get busy. You know, one sure way of getting your mind off yourself is getting your mind on someone else, and that is the mind of Christ. Giving your life for someone else. Giving it all over for Jesus Christ. You forget all your own problems. Now, we were down here cooking the other day, isn't that right, dear? And you kind of forget all your own problems. You get so busy and chopping up celery and onions and cooking up meat and doing all this whole kind of thing, you know. You forget all about your own problems. You even get happy doing it. Now, that's a miracle for some people to get happy doing some work, but it will happen. How many hearing this? See, we need to go on with this thing. We spend so much time guarding our reputations. Now, if I was to be guarding my reputation, I would be doing only that. Because it seems like every time I gain a little bit of a reputation, I lose it. That's where I'm at right now. I think I've lost it as far as I can lose it. Well, I ain't going to say that because then I'll be tested some other way and lose another piece of it. But walking around with my head in my hands. But don't worry about losing your reputation. And we're so worried about our appearances. We truly, like I said, Friday night become hypocrites. See, if you got to guard your reputation, it means there's something you got to hide about your reputation. Bible says, let all things be done in the light. Don't be a hypocrite. I think the general principle here is very clear, that when Satan comes against the people of God, the Holy Spirit, it says, will raise up a standard against him. So first, refer to the text, the holy war in our hearts. And then secondly, to the holy war which is waged in the world outside, not, it says in the Bible, with flesh and blood, but with spiritual wickedness in high places. And so number one, the conflict which is raging in the Christian's inner man. How many have conflicts that rage on inside of you? Oh, all the time. Oh yes, brother, I have peace, sister, I have peace, and so on. But we're always at war within ourselves, aren't we? That conflict which is raging in the Christian's inner man, to serve or not to serve. Oh, that's the thing, isn't it? Many times in my own personal ministry, I say, God, do you want me to serve under all this pressure? Do you want me to get up and minister under all this pressure and all the speculations that are going on? God has always spoken to me. He says, Paul, has that got anything to do with what I have given you to do? Go on. Keep on keeping on and go on. Oh, and as we're faithful to go on in what God has called us to do, we see little miracles every day. Not little miracles, mighty miracles. Kids that I knew that were 2 years old, now they're 9 years old. Kids that were 9 years old are now 16 years old since I came down here. Kids that I started out in Brooklyn Park with, they're all over. They're in Israel. They're in Africa. They're in all parts of the United States. They're ministering all over the place. No, keep on. I think the best witness that we can have, preachers, now you're hearing me on the radio or listening to this tape, the very best witness you can have is to go on having done all that you can do and you're under a lot of tremendous traumatic pressure to go on. Even though your knees are ready to buckle. How many know what it means to have your knees ready to buckle? I remember when I used to get in the ring when I was in Golden Gloves. I probably said this before. Sometimes I repeat myself. It's okay. Maybe somebody's new here. Who knows? But when I get in there, my legs were like jelly. I'd try to act like they weren't, and I'd put in there and go down. Get in there and do one of them, Rocky deals, and I'd try like that. My knees wouldn't even hold me up. But you know what got me going? The first blast in the face. Then after I got hit in my face, the wind knocked out of me, I wasn't concerned about how my knees look. See, appearances. We're so afraid someone will see us with feeble knees. Hey, that is at your best point, preacher, when you got feeble knees and your heart is ready to faint. And you think, oh God, doesn't anybody love me anymore? Oh Lord, everybody hates me. They're throwing mud pies. Hey, shut up. Go on with what God has told you to do and let the mud pies fly. Glory to God, and God will meet your need. Preachers, in the end, are going to be under a real hellish fire. Now, anyone preaching the gospel is going to understand what I'm talking about. But anyway, I know it's very important that we fully understand the position of the Christian. Now, what is the position of the Christian? This is not the land of triumph, number one. And this is not the time to rest. This is not the time to sit down. This is not the time to rest. This is the time to go ahead full blast. Now, when I go through financial difficulties, when I get into a corner, when the ministry is going through hard times, what you have to do then is go double time. Now, in the world, when their business isn't making it, they work all the harder, if they've got any kind of business sense at all, right? Now, if you're drowning, you swim all the harder, don't you? And if you see shore over there, you really go at it. Well, Tell you what, I'm seeing shore, and I'm getting my second wind, and I'm going to make it over to the other side. How about you? Come on, let's get excited about what's happening down here on the north side. Come on. Any way to set aside your armor right now would be folly. I mean, the ship must not be put into mothballs. It's got a whole lot of storms yet to go through. Well, let's just take this great big old spiritual ship and you know, mothball it up and put closed on the doors. You preachers, don't you do it. Hey, you're going to close them down all over the place, and we'll just put it over here and say, sorry, closed. Too much persecution, too much scandal, too much gossip, too many mouths against it. Hey, it ain't got nothing to do with it. Say amen, somebody. You leave those doors open as a testimony that God is able. Do you think God is able? Well, I know He is for me. I don't know about you. Well, hey, how about yourself? How many know that God is able? Hey, if I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be even down here. I would certainly not be up here preaching the Word of God. I know that God is able. I mean, the warrior hasn't been slain yet. The enemies, these warriors on the enemy side have not been slain. Nor the Christian right now, it's not to lay down your sword. Are you hearing it? I mean, the minute you're saved, you enter into spiritual warfare. Now, I was doing all right in the world. I was just good and miserable. Like everybody else. Then I got saved and I got filled with the Holy Spirit and I was real happy for about 2 weeks. And then I was good and miserable, but then I was confused. Oh, now that this isn't scriptural. It is. It is. Because I didn't know if it was me or the devil or the world. And I started to get into all these things. I thought, God, I was better off before. But what I didn't realize is that God will raise up a standard against the... I was facing a flood. How many know when you first get saved, you face a flood? A flood of relatives, a flood of people that you work with, a floods from your own sin nature, floods of temptation, floods of desire. And you say, God, no, I went out and I witnessed to everybody and I told them about Jesus and everything. And I told them I was saved and I led some people to the Lord. And now I'm in a real mess. God, before I just had my, you know. But you have to learn and you have to get into the battle. And people need to be told right now in this day and age that we are facing spiritual battles. Young people are facing spiritual battles. Isn't that right? I mean, there's a spiritual battle for your life. And there's a spiritual battle for your life. The enemy is out, it says, to rob and kill and destroy. Well, what do you do then? Do you lay down the armor? Do you go back to your friends and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong? No. You put on the full armor of God, even though it doesn't fit you. You look kind of corny at first because it doesn't fit. But you have to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and pretty soon that armor will fit you. You're going in there a rookie. You get your head all shaved off, you look kind of corny, and you only got a few little spiritual little icky whiskers hanging off your face, you know what I'm saying? And you get up there and you look kind of corny and you say a whole lot of things. You don't know much about what you're talking about, but you're like a child, understand? And you go ahead until you get built up in the faith, and it's always a battle. Well, does it ever end? Well, it sure hasn't ended for me. No, it doesn't end at all. I think that war only ends when we go to be with Jesus. There are enemies within you. How many of those enemies on the inside? Waging war all the time. Oh, enemies of depression. You wake up in the morning, oh my God, why am I so depressed? That's the enemy. How many know that's the enemy? You ever seen someone that gets into depression? Now, I've known young people are so beautiful and they have the joy of the Lord on them. God, it makes me mad. And you know what? They have the joy of Jesus on them. And all of a sudden, you're looking at them and they're depressed. Oh, and they're down.
and they're blue, and they're fearful about what might happen, and and they're walking around, and they get sort of all pasty looking and white in their lips, and they don't say anything anymore, and they just sort of feel like sort of a spiritual nerd, and oh my God, what's ever going to happen? And they get all balled up in that. Let me tell you one thing, folks, don't fall into it. Let the full joy of the Lord hit on you and you receive it. Don't try to explain your life to someone. They don't want to hear it anyway. They're too busy with their own. You hearing it? They are too busy fighting the battle themselves. I know I am. How about you? Now I hear a lot of sighing in here. Oh, and the radio audience is starting to receive it a little bit. Lay down your Frito-Lay potato chips and your popcorn and your Pepsi. You're in church. See, you will never be fully delivered from the influence of inbred sin. Never. Well, that's a real negative. No, it's the truth. You're always going to be battling the flesh. Now, I didn't say go out and shoot yourself in the head. I'm saying there is always a battle with the flesh. What is the flesh? Well, the flesh is something that gets defeated every other day. Isn't that right? Every other day. You try to get that flesh up in the morning. Oh God, another day. Another day. I hate to face it. There's been so many things happen in my life, and I'm just, one more thing, and I'm going to throw in the towel. I just hate it out there. Oh, my God. Well, maybe you need to tell somebody just exactly how you feel and get it off your chest. I didn't say kill them. Tell them and then pray for yourself. But for God's sake, tell them. Say amen, somebody. See, I think a lot of times we're just not honest, are we? How are you? Oh, fine. Saved and filled and sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Like I said Friday night, we're all fine and well, and we got 10,000 people, and we got our arms raised, and we're all singing, oh, how I love Jesus. And the crowds are swaying, huh? And the husband's at home with a stack of TV dinner trays like this that he's used up. Oh, how I hate Agnes. Say amen, somebody. Whew. See, you got a brand new nature, praise the Lord, that can't sin. A brand new nature that cannot sin. The flesh does. The old nature. The carnal man is still there. How many know the carnal man is still there? Well, you leave here, your carnal man is... Don't you have to eat? How many here are going to get hungry? Huh? The carnal man is still there. You're still taking care of it, aren't you? You got up this morning, took a shower, bath, whatever, combed your hair... Now, you're still here. See, some people act like they're not here. I always tell them, if you're not all here, you're not all there. Huh? No, you're still here. You're still going to have temptation. You're still going to have desire. You're still going to have the sin nature. And to say you don't, the Bible says you're a liar and there's no truth in you. Oh, but gee, you shouldn't tell people that. They'll just use that for an excuse to sin. No, they have a conscience. Say amen, somebody. You're not under judgment, but you can receive conviction from the Holy Ghost all of the time. Are you hearing this? First off, I got to tell you something here. Your carnal man is not reconciled to God. The Bible says that the carnal man is at enmity with God. That means the carnal flesh part of you hates God. Your flesh does.
Well, how do we ever get... No, don't try to make your flesh love God. The Bible says it won't work. There's an inner man that loves God. There's the flesh that hates God. Do you always love to do what your parents tell you to do? No. Do you always love to do in your flesh what the Bible tells you to do? No. And so the battle goes on and on and on. And sometimes we even enter into legal things with ourselves. We set up all kinds of rules and regulations, do's and won'ts, shants and shouldn'ts, and so on, act like that. We try to make it. We try to say, well, I'll do this and I'll do that and it'll work out. And tomorrow will be a brighter day and I'll turn over a new leaf. It don't work. You get worse. Then I say, God, I'm a sinner saved by grace and you got to help me through this day. See, I believe within each person, the house of Saul is in our heart. Wars against the house of David. You remember David, how he was playing on his little harp? Plinky, plink, plink. And Saul got mad and threw a spear at him? That's the same way with us. The conflict will continue with more or less violence until you die. Now, if you don't war with Satan, then you're not going to have that kind of conflict. But you know what? You won't have any peace either. It's only when you're in the battle and when you're in the war and when you call upon the name of the Lord in a time of trouble, when you get your eyes set on the things of Christ, not on the things of the world, not on all the fleshy things back there, not on all the conversation, not on all the things that people do, but you put your mind on Christ. And you put your mind on Christ, and you're going to have joy, and you're going to have peace, and you're going to have power. Now, you ain't going to be jumping down, up and down all the time. But you're going to have a direction. Because if you're divided between the two, you're going to fall. Say amen, somebody. Well, that means you got some kind of decisions to make, doesn't it? But also on the world without are multitudes of foes. The vain world is no friend of the work of grace. If you were in the world, if you were of the world, the Bible says the world would love you. How many know the world hates you? It hates you. Are you hearing it? Satan hates God. The flesh hates God. Are you hearing this? And I believe this, that Satan, and I know this, that Satan will spare no arrow against you. How many have been hit by arrows lately? Put your hands up. I mean real arrows. What have I said here? Put on the full armor of God. Because you know why? The enemy, it says, will come in like a flood and suddenly without notice, the dam is going to break. And in rushes the water to the valleys below. It kills everything in its path. Say amen, somebody. How are you ever going to make it? You're going to have to lift up your arms and say, Lord, how many have had floods in their lives? I mean floods. Say, my God, how am I going to swim against this flood? And the harder you swim and the harder you kick, the more water you swallow. And you get advice from this person and from that person and counsel from this person and that person. You're looking all over for these lifesavers to come your way and there's only one that can save you. And what is that? Say that name. Jesus. You're all going to have to come into that. It will be well for you anyway who know the spiritual conflict to be fully conscious of your own utter impotence against this terrific danger. Be aware that you cannot fight this thing by yourself. Who can escape it? My God, I have been in floods. I have been in torrents of water coming over me. You are surrounded with enemies, and I'll tell you right now, we are in the day of battle. And without the full armor, your flesh is wide open to attack. Put on the full armor of God. The text also tells us to thoroughly realize our position and to turn to our only help, a divine helper. Do you think as a Christian you can stop this thing that's coming on? Do you think that you can avoid it? Should you run to the minister? Should you gather up a whole lot of Christian friends? Should you stand there sandbagging the dam? No. It's the Spirit of the Lord. It's the blessed Spirit that's going to deliver us out of this thing that we're in right now. It is a hellish situation. All right. I know in my own life here, the Holy Spirit has opened me up to a whole lot of things. And the Holy Spirit has opened up my eyes that He is the only one that can operate in me and deliver me and cultivate me and make me to pray and make me to sing and make me to talk and make me to witness and make me to minister. Are you hearing this? He's the only one that makes me want to do these things. Say amen, somebody. Maybe you're sitting in here today. Maybe you're having all kinds of conflicts in your life. Maybe you're, I know, right now there's people listening to me on the radio that are having all kinds of conflicts in their life. Why? We've got to start to be honest with ourselves. Our flesh is at enmity with God. Say amen, somebody. It's a very, very hard time, isn't it? It's a time of soul seeking. It's a time of coming together. It's time for bodies right now to recognize that there's a divine and there's a higher calling. Right now, I'm into a higher calling in my life. I'm doing things that are not popular. I'm doing things right now that will not, line up with popular opinion. But I have had to make choices in my own particular ministry, and you are going to have to make, individual choices in your own, aren't you? Aren't we going to all have to come down to the wire and make individual choices in our own ministry above what other people think you should do? My God, there's a soul seeking that has to go on in the midnight hour. There's a whole lot of things that got to happen in our own personal lives. And God is gathering together a people. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about just getting out there and praising the Lord. I'm talking about people, my God, that want to go to work and see a work finished. Hallelujah. And get into the battle and stay there no matter what. How many are hearing this word? And it isn't always going to be easy because there's going to be opinions. There's going to be people saying, well, why don't you do it this way? And why don't you do it that way? Why? It's the same way with you, brother. You fly an airplane. Someone gets in there and says, well, why don't you work this lever? And why don't you work that lever? And why don't you turn it this way? And why don't you work this flap? Well, maybe they read some kind of book on how to do it, but they don't have that practical knowledge. Say amen, somebody. And until you're in the battle and you have practical knowledge, you haven't got too much to say about it. Say amen, somebody. Are you hearing this? I know this is kind of heavy preaching, but boy, it's a time for heavy preaching, isn't it? It's a time for people to agree. Are you two people married here? You thinking about getting married? This is your son. Oh, my God. Sorry, kid. What can I say? Got a young-looking mom. You remember when you first got saved? How many remember when they first got saved? Oh, God. I woke up at night and someone gave me a book on demons, see? So all day at work I was thinking about these demons. They got my mind on demons. And I thought, well, the reason I'm thinking all these things is because there's demons out there. See? And I read this book on demons and pigs in the parlor, and they had all this kind of, huh? Don't get into it. Scare yourself half out of your mind. And so I laid awake all night. I went down, I'd go to these bookstores, I tried to act like I was picking a book out for somebody else. And I'd pick out a book there, it had this Roman soldier on there, you know what I mean, with a big sword. And the shield. Oh boy, I better read that one. You know what I mean? Or I'd pick one out where they were snapping chains, Christians, breaking free, huh? You know what? I'd get up and read that and I'd go to bed just as bound up. You know what I mean? Then I read books like, Can the Christian Be Possessed? Are You Really Saved? Are You Sanctified? Victory in the Mind. And I was up all night long searching peace. 2:00, 3:00 in the morning. Whew. Well, you can bring a horse, you know, to water, but you can't make him drink. And you can bring a Christian to scriptures, but you can't make him receive it. Do you know what does that? The Holy Spirit. I went through 9 months of tremendous hell trying to get myself free until I saw the cross and I saw the blood and I saw what Jesus had already done in the finished work, and I got free and I got the message of full pardon and full grace. And once you're saved, you're always saved, because I was ready to kill myself several times because I thought, I'll never make it. How many know exactly what I'm talking about right now? And there's a whole lot of people that are listening to me on the radio that are so bound up. Are you hearing this? And got themselves under so much judgment. Are you hearing it? I know one thing, that I have the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it doesn't depend on my say. See, the battle's on, isn't it? How many know the battle's on right now? And all you preachers that are going to be used in very heavy battles, you are going to enter in to a tremendous mental conflict. How many are hearing this? What do you mean, mental conflict? I mean Satan, preacher, is going to play with your mind. Say amen. He is going to play with your mind. He is going to send you great temptation. Are you hearing it? He's going to send you all these things so you won't get out and preach the gospel. He's going to give you doubt. I remember preaching my first couple years, and oh, I fell into such doubt. Oh, I doubted everything, and God spoke to me and says, Paul, you're such a great doubter. Why don't you doubt? Doubt. You know what? I got free. I thought, well, that sounds kind of silly. But if I doubt, doubt, the spirit of doubt, hey. When the Holy Spirit speaks and he says, let there be light, I think the thickest darkness is gone. Say amen, somebody. Oh, God. If I could tell you for one moment, the mental battles that I've been in my whole of my ministry, and I've always turned to the Lord. And you know what? The Bible says, call upon me in the time of trouble and I will answer. Do you know what, folks? He always answers. Not sometimes. Are you hearing this? There are so many people right now that are ready for Anoka. Are you hearing this? They're ready for Anoka. Do you know why they're ready for Anoka? They surrender. They say, you know what? I am ready for Anoka. But is Anoka ready for you? How many hearing this? There are so many people right now that their minds are being tormented and played with. Don't allow it to happen. Know what your position in Jesus Christ is. Saved, saved, saved. How many here knows? Do you know what your position is in Christ? Praise God that I know it, because there's a whole lot of folks that will tell you that you're unsaved every other 5 minutes. Now, whatever that they put out, that's exactly what they get back. If they're a Pharisee and they stand in the doorway and won't allow people to go through, they aren't even going to make it to heaven themselves. The total message is right now that you're going to have to deny your life, pick up a cross, and follow me. And that's where you're going to find your peace. Because it says in the Bible, in the end, and some people are being affected more than others, in the end, many seducing spirits will be loosed from the pit. Oh, where are they? They're in bed with you. They sit in church with you. They get in the car with you. You go out to the cafe and you're having coffee, they're sitting right next to you. I'm not talking about a physical person. I'm talking about spirits. Wherever you go, these seducing spirits are all over, seducing people. And it says in the end that evil will be called good and good will be called evil. Yeah, that's what it says. Say amen, somebody. That's exactly what it says. That's exactly what's happening. And some people are more open to those things, and they're tormented. How many know what torment is? Mental torment. Put your hands up. See, let's get into psychoanalyzing. Get them up there. See, Satan hates this kind of thing. This is called deliverance ministry. I'm talking about mental torment. When you feel like your head is in some kind of a vice, huh? Hey, how many hearing this? Okay, this is the time to know your position in Jesus Christ, forgetting those things that are past, pressing forward towards the high mark, the calling in Christ. What is done, leave it done. Leave sleeping dogs sleep. You don't, man. You wake up a sleepy dog, an old sleepy dog, he'll bite you. That mean. You take away his doggy bowl, look out. You know what I'm talking about. And it's affecting young people. Why do you think so many young people right now, and I ministered several years ago, I said, there could be brand new kinds of drugs. Now they got brand new coke. Brand new hash. Brand new this, brand new that. More powerful stuff. Why do you think so many people are into pharmakia, pharmacia, in Greek and Latin, drugs, the Bible talks about them? Mental torture. Now, don't you think it's nice to know where you're at in Jesus Christ when you're under all that kind of strain? Huh? Well, the devil comes on you with fear. How old are you?
14.
Okay. 14 years old. Now you're being pressured to go out and get a job. Pretty soon you got to go out there and get a job. Pretty soon you got to go do this. Hey, let it happen. Let you be 14 one time. Don't worry about it. Then you're 14 and one day old and 14 and 2 days. And take it one day at a time. Praise God all the way through it. And don't you get fearful. How old are you, son? 16 years old. You enjoy being 16 years old. See what I'm saying? You accept yourself in Jesus Christ just the way you are. He accepts you. He loves you. And you can't do nothing to turn Jesus Christ off. Did you know that? Aren't you glad? How many are glad that you can't do anything to turn Jesus' love off for you? I am. How many of you would like to have a rerun movie of their whole life? Ooh. Now, legalists, let's get it on here. Would you like to have a rerun movie of your whole life? Maybe we pick up the mattresses and find some Playboy magazines underneath your self-righteous little mattress. Remember, I got saved, and I had a little cache of dirty books up inside, down in the laundry room there, and I had them up inside there, see? So I went up in there, and I thought, well, Bible says burn those books. I got out on the front yard out there and I got a wheelbarrow. Do you know how hard it is to burn books? Well, I just thought, you know, I'll start a fire and burn those books. I was out there all night trying to burn them books. Finally, I had to end up and put them in a garbage can. You know what I mean? How many are hearing this? Ooh, don't let Satan play with your mind. I mean, if slander, if persecution could have destroyed the church, it would have done it a whole long time ago. Can you right now receive yourself? Is there someone in here that's having a hard time receiving themselves? Is there someone in here that's had, at different points in their spiritual walk after they were saved, had problems receiving themselves? Yeah. You know what? That's sin. That's the grossest of all sins. But once that you've been saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, not to receive yourself when Jesus Christ has received you. But we go through that, don't we? We go through just mental torment, I'm telling you. Mental torment. Oh, if I would have only done this, and if I would have only done that, and tomorrow I'll do that. Are you hearing this? Well, anyway, let me close it up. When God comes in to the fight, woe be it to those enemies. God comes into the fight. No, God comes into the fight when you get out there and you get into the fight. When you're out there feeding the poor. When you come up against abortion and drugs and alcohol. When you start leading people to Jesus Christ. When you start saying, oh God, I thank you that you receive me just the way that I am. Oh, thank you, Lord, that you love me, that you receive me. In the end, it says in the Bible, now listen to it real close. In the end, it says in the Bible that those in your own household are going to turn against you. Like I said in Friday night's message, Luke 12 and 1, beware ye the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Huge praise meetings while people are starving all over the place. No workers, it says in the Bible, and the fields are white for the harvest. No commitment, no talk of self-denial. You know how you'll know people? By the empty fruit baskets that they're carrying around. You'll know them by the blowing of their horn every time before they do anything. And oh, so many of us want applause. Oh, how the hypocrite loves the applause. And oh, how severe they are with others and how lenient with themselves. Yes, Isaiah 59 and 19 says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, and let me add this, you can be sure the hypocrite has caused those high waters. It says then in ending, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. God is saying, my grace is sufficient. How many know God's grace is sufficient?
It's going to have to be, isn't it? You're going to be tried on all points. You're going through some really hard times, but you're making it, aren't you? And you got this beautiful young man here. Huh? I always tell people, and they say, oh, I ain't got nobody else. You got me. I'm better than nothing. It's like marriages. A lot of marriages are brain dead, too. Means there's nothing coming. There's no kind of contact and love. There's nothing out there. Whew. Say amen, somebody. Okay, hon. I'm glad you came today. You know why? Because there's just, you've seen all these hands in here, of all these people in here. Sometimes we think we're all by ourselves and we're all alone, don't we? You are not alone. It's just that you're more sensitive to the Spirit. Did you know that? There's some people more sensitive than others. Now you got to start to put your hand up and you start praising the Lord and say, God, I know you're able to deliver me in the day of your power, and you're going to make me willing in the day of your power. Know what, honey? I just love to see you come down here and get involved. That's what you need, don't you? Just come on down and get involved. God, I remember in the fix I was in, I remember laying at home, just bawling my eyes out there. I mean, I would come to tears over anything. Do you feel that way? Once in a while, all of a sudden, you just start bawling. And you just start getting into depression, and you start crying. You can't stop crying. Man, oh man, I was blubbering all the time. You know what I mean? Why? I was tormented. Isn't that hell? Aren't you sick of it? I'm sick of it. How many are sick of being tormented in your head? Hey, you don't belong to yourself. You're bought with a price. What are you doing messing with your head? Your head don't belong to you. It belongs to God. Do you think he took you without your head? I mean, he bought you lock, stock, and barrel. He bought all of you. Your head, it goes along with it. Sometimes we think it's too nasty and God don't want it. No, he bought all of you. You should be singing to the Lord, all of me. Why not take all of me? Take my head, because I want to lose it. Take my arms. Huh? Take all of me. He bought you with a price. Don't be stuck with a head that's under torment. It's under guilt. It's all frustrated. You got this inner conflicts that are going on all the time. My God, aren't you sick of it? I, for one, am, and I'm just going to go on with what God has called me to do. Aren't you? Yes. Hallelujah. You feeling better, honey? Hmm? You always feel better when you're with me. Well, maybe because some of the truths I have is going to help you. But you know who made me feel better? Jesus Christ. You know who's going to make you feel better? Jesus. Because you know who you've been fighting? You've been fighting the devil. I mean, he is there. And don't get into, you know, sword fighting with him. No, you know, it's a spiritual warfare, you know. Some people stand in the mirror and they fight with Satan, you know what I mean? And they actually feel like they're, get behind me. Ooh, don't you die. Huh? No, I'm not talking about that. See, good overcomes evil. I mean, you just get busy doing things. And Satan doesn't like to work. You get busy down here in a mission down here and doing things down here. He hates to peel potatoes and do things like that. That's above him. He's above all that. See what I'm saying? And you just do these natural, normal, beautiful things. You start loving people and you start reaching out for people and you lose people. When you start being a fool for Christ's sake, see, some people just want to be spiritual, don't they? Well, I'm not called to do that. What are you called to do, pray tell? I mean, everything you can mention, they're not called to do. Will you help me sweep the floor? I'm not called to sweep the floor. Would you mind doing that? Well, I'm not called to do that. Well, what are you called to do? Well, I'm called to prophesy over people. Lay one on me. Make sure it's a good one, will you? See what I mean? No, just get yourself in it, honey. Get yourself going. See what I mean? Sometimes when you get up in the morning and you feel like that kind of... How many get up in the morning, a lot of times they'll feel like they're kind of depressed and like that? You know, you just get up and you look in the mirror and say, I'm depressed. Don't you? I mean, you actually say that. And you look at yourself. God, I hate myself. I hate my nose. I hate my... And you look at yourself in the mirror and you twirl around and say, oh man, you're repulsive, huh? Oh, what a way. No, really. What a way to start the day out. No. I mean, just say, well, you can say, look in the mirror and say, well, you know what? God really loves me. That's something when you look in the mirror and he takes you just the way you are. Even if you think you're repulsive, he takes you, okay? Even if you don't like your nose. Huh? Even if you don't like the way your shape is. How many hearing this? See, because Satan is going to play with your brain and he's going to pull you down. Are you hearing this? How you know this when Satan plays with your brain? Don't allow him to do that. Are you hearing this? Start thinking about things. Be an airhead if you have to. See? Did you get something out of this message today? I know you did. I'm so glad that you brought your mother with you. Huh? Did she bring you? Well, both of you came. How did you come here?
I've been wanting to come here for a while.
Oh, you listen on the radio? I'm going to say this. I say it to everybody. You don't look nothing like I thought you would either, okay? Okay, let's hear it for the Lord here. Okay, I guess I have to say this, that we will be in this end time, we'll be in a lot of heavy deliverance ministries, and it's recognize your position in Jesus Christ. It's recognizing that the devil is out to rob, kill, and destroy, and that, you know, your flesh readily agrees with Satan, okay? But there's a greater one inside, and that spiritual you in there that can't be lost. That's the part that goes to heaven. That's the part that Jesus speaks to, and in time overcomes. We are more than overcomers through Christ. We're more than overcomers of the flesh, the world, and the devil. Did you know that? And your joy. That's like, you know, hon, you got the spirit of joy. See, when you're born again, you're a spiritual person, right? So now you're spiritual. So now you just don't have joy. Oh, yay, we're going out to Valley Fair. Oh, hooray, we're going to take a trip. And you get out and you hate it. You know what I mean? No, it's a spiritual joy. It is. It's a spirit. Now, if you call upon that and it's in you because you're spiritual, you're born again, you have a spirit of joy. Not just joy, but a spirit of joy. And not just peace, but a spirit of peace. Not a peace that the world gives, but a spirit. But sometimes we don't recognize that. And our peace gets destroyed because we're into a flesh peace. No, I'm talking about a peace that passes all understanding. Peace. Like what? Like a river. You listening to me and this tape should be going to St. Peter and Anoka and places like that. You can have that. The only difference between you and me and you people in St. Peter is that you turned yourself in. I'm still loose. Guy asked me, he said, do you mean there's really people out there that have mental problems and they're crazy and like that? I said, well, haven't you had days when you were supposed to be in a straitjacket? I have. How many have days when they should be in a straitjacket? Huh? That's the time to call upon the name. Aren't you, honey, I'm so glad you're seeing all these answers. Put your hands up for this lady. Put your hands up. How many have days when they know they should be in a straitjacket? Yep. Yep. And you know what? If people are honest, they're all over like that. Sometimes you're almost afraid to tell people things because they won't think you're very spiritual. You know what I mean? That's negative. Stand on the word. Be positive. Claim it to go away. Huh? No, it isn't that easy, is it? It's a reaching out and it's a touching God. And you know what? Praise God, sweetheart, that let me tell you something. Because you went through all of what you've gone through, whatever it is, because you've gone through all of that, you're going to be a better person to minister to other people. I praise God for my own life, for my boys' schools and prison and the alcohol and the skid row. And I mean, you don't glory in that. Oh, look at my garbage can. Look how filthy, dirty, rotten it is. Boy. No, I'm not glorying in that. I'm saying it gives you experience, doesn't it? Doesn't the alcohol thing, doesn't that give us experience around where we can, you know what I mean? You can experience, you can see why people, you know, they get in and they get out. Yeah, I mean, you know, when you first get out of it, you can get back in and back and forth and like that. And you learn by experiences, don't we? And we know what mental torture is and mental anguish and all that. And we don't fall into the same traps all the time. See what I'm saying? I mean, you know, you might fall into them once or twice, but then you start to get knowledgeable in the warring with Satan. Don't you see what I'm saying here today? And how many people can we minister to? God, look at all the people you can minister to. I know you know a whole lot of guys and gals. What school do you go to?
Mount Westonka High School.
Where?
Mount Westonka High School.
Oh, Mount?
Mound.
Mound. Oh, I see. Is it a pretty good size school?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's all kinds of people out there that really need help. You know what I mean? Yeah, and there's your mother. She's home worrying about you. You know what I mean? She reminds me of the type that when you first started going to school, she would hang on to the back of the bus looking in the window to make sure nobody, you know. I mean, she's just a nice mom. Were you that kind of a mom? Yeah, kind of, sure. Yeah. My mother never did that. She'd yell out the window, "Hands off!" There were my hands that were on somebody else, though, see? Is there anyone in here today that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? Are you born again?
Thank you for listening to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, Episode 10, The Spiritual Flood is Coming, and I am your hostess, Janine Arnopoulos. You can send your comments, questions, or suggestions to janine@pastorpaul.org. Or you can call the audio comment line at 1-715-808-0318. Comments are live at the blog, so you can write your comment at www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com, where you can download this podcast. Also, you can visit us at www.pastorpaul.org, make a U.S. tax-deductible donation on the homepage. And special links to the podcast will be in the show notes posted at the blog. And I hope that we can all be in prayer for the people who are rescuing people at this very minute here in Minneapolis at the collapsed bridge, and pray for their safety and pray for peace that passes all understanding for the victims' families who are dealing in crisis right now, for this tragedy that no one would have ever expected to happen, just a regular day in someone's life, and it's completely changed, and families are changed, cities are changed, states and countries are changed. So after seeing on the news for the last few days about the bridge and the incident and everything, I guess the best thing is just how great the people are that helped in this situation, and that we can start to prepare our hearts for situations in the future so that we would be prepared to handle them as well. You never know what's going to happen from day to day these days. And the main thing is that when you have the Lord, you know that you have immediate help in a time of tragedy. So I thank God for my relationship with Him. And I pray that you will be blessed this week, and that if you don't know the Lord, that you will know Him. God bless you. Until next Friday. So if you tear-